Good morning, New Life. It is so great to see you all this morning. First service, in case you guys didn't notice, in the parking lot went long because we are having such a good time celebrating all that the Lord has done and all that he is continuing to do. So if you are able, will you stand with us this morning as I read the scripture over us? Psalm 145 says this, "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness." So this morning, we're going to worship together. We're going to celebrate child dedications and baptisms and just share from one generation to another all that the Lord has done. Amen.
Raise me. Welcome, welcome.
Hello, we are Marty and Stacy, and we are so glad on the behalf of the New Life crew, everybody, we are so glad that you made it here today. Whether you're out on the patio watching, hello, or inside, welcome.
Yeah, we are so glad you're here for Celebration Sunday. What a great day just to all be together. So if you are new, we would love to get to know you. And we have what we call Connection Counter. And there's two in the lobby and there's one out on the patio. And so come if you're new, meet somebody. We have a free gift for you. So we would love to get to know you.
Absolutely. And to kick off the celebration, we get to see babies. Woo! Let's
Dedicated babies.
So as we get ready to start that, you need to turn to a neighbor, introduce yourself right now, and a baby person or not a baby person, go.
Hey, go ahead and have a seat. And if you are not a baby person, that's okay. There's God's grace for you. It's all right. Today, we have the opportunity to have all kinds of different, celebrate all kinds of different moments in people's life of what God is doing. And as we enter into a time of child dedication, I want to remind us of a couple of things and remind these parents of a couple of things. And the first one is this, that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, as God is preparing Israel to understand what it looks like for him to be their God and for them to be God's people, he gives them a command about how to pass along the laws of God and the teachings of God. And he tells them basically this: I want you to bind these on your wrists. I want you to place them on your foreheads. I want you to place them on the doorposts of your homes. I want you to talk about them along the dusty road as you're going from one village to the next. So in today's context, it's going to be more like, I want you to talk about these when you get up in the morning, and I want you to read from the scriptures both day and night. I want you, as you're going in the SUV or minivan to soccer, to school, to ballet, to whatever, that I want you to do all of these things. And as you do them, teach your children to know and to love God. Now, as I've thought about that, there's something that's interesting that I hear sometimes from various people is you'll hear people, especially outside of the faith, they'll be like, hey, you know, are you giving them a choice to, like, you know, choose their own? Or you'll even hear people go so far as like, hey, are you sure you're not brainwashing your kids or something like that? And I'm like, hold on a second. If you're a parent, and if you know that the only way for human flourishing to happen is to do that under the reign of Christ, if you're a parent and you know that life and life to its fullest only happens when you are connected with God, John chapter 15 reminds us that apart from me, you can do nothing. If you know that, then wouldn't you want to create an environment where your child could thrive? Wouldn't you want to create an environment where your child could know and love Jesus and begin to walk in his ways and never not know themselves as someone who didn't follow the Lord? That's really what child dedication is all about. Because it's not a commitment on behalf of your child. It's your commitment to say, you know what? We are committing to raise our kids to know and to love God. And it's the congregation's commitment to say, you know what? We want to be a part of that flourishing environment. When we're your child's teacher in kids men, or small group leader in middle school ministry or high school ministry, when we are having conversations on the patio, we want to be a part of that. In fact, there's a book and it's called Sticky Faith. And Sticky Faith reminds us of statistically, what are the most important aspects of a child's faith development? Number one, the number one thing that is most important above all other things for a child continuing to follow Jesus is that five people in their local faith community, their local church, knows them. Prays for them, encourages them, teaches them the scriptures. When they walk through the doors, it's not just like, hey, who is this person? Or you're annoying. It's, hey, how are you doing? You know, Watson, how you doing, Nico? Like that's their names if you didn't know. Like, hey, that's what you're doing, so that they might know that this is a place where not only God loves them, but the body of Christ loves them. And so parents, with this in mind, I have a couple things to charge you with. And the first one is this. Will you commit to model and teach for your child how to respond to the love and forgiveness of Jesus and his lordship? This involves listening to the Spirit, directing his instruction in scriptures, and connecting to the community of believers. I want you to think about that for a moment, because one of the most important charges you have in this dedication is that you will model what it looks like to follow Jesus. Long before your child ever does that, you're modeling that for them. The second thing is to activate their faith and activate the gifts and graces that God has for them. God has placed gifts and graces in your boys' lives. God has given, like he has placed those in there. And as parents and as a congregation, we have the opportunity that we can see those before they see them. So we get to call that out of them and call those gifts forward and then give them opportunities to utilize those. And then last but not least, that you would teach them to trust God. And again, a lot of this comes through modeling. They're gonna hear your prayers first. They're gonna see you walk out your faith first. So as you trust God, they will learn how to trust God also. And so with that in mind, do you choose to dedicate your children, and will you commit to helping your children become fully alive in Jesus? If so, say, we will with God's help. Nico's making sure you guys listen. That's all. That's all that's happening. All right. And then New Life, will you commit yourself as the body of Christ to pray for, support, and encourage these parents? Will you take on the active responsibility to create a community and an environment where these children will learn how to grow in the knowledge and faith of Jesus Christ and become fully alive in him? If so, say, we will with God's help. That's good news, folks. That's good news.
Introduce baby Watson, who is so chill right now, just checking it out. This is baby Watson. And I know you guys have fam. You're videoing those, so you don't have to stand, Miss Kim, if you just want to embrace it still.
Yeah, if we have family, if you guys have family over here, you guys want to stand up, go ahead and stand up, family, be recognized. Yes. And stay standing. And then New Life Church, would you reach out your hands? And we're gonna dedicate baby Watson this morning. I dedicate you, baby Watson, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, we are so thankful for his life. God, you knit him together in his mother's womb. You know him, and he is wonderfully made. And we pray, God, at an early age that he would come to know you as Lord and Savior, that he would receive your gift of forgiveness, that he would be filled with your Spirit, that God, the gifts and graces that you have given him, God, would come to fruition, and he would begin to utilize those for your glory, and that he would follow you all the days of his life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. And all God's people said, amen.
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
All right, and now our little vocal one over here, Nico.
Come on up, y'all.
You guys can scooch closer.
Nico?
I was like, Nico comes accompanied with cutie little Noah Sky hair, the big sister.
Nico, ready? We have to have a conversation. You got way too much hair. You need to help a brother out right now, man. Yeah. Like, come on. I could use some of that. All right.
And then you guys have family, friends, and everyone here.
Go ahead and stand. Yeah, family and friends supporting.
Family here.
Yep, over here. Yep. Awesome.
Got it?
Very cool. All right. And again, congregation, reach out your hand to Nico, and let's pray for him. Heavenly Father, we dedicate Nico in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We mark him with the cross of Christ. God, you know him completely. He is fearfully and wonderfully made. And God, I pray that at an early age that he would recognize you as Lord and Savior. I pray, God, that he would receive your gift of forgiveness, that he would be filled with your Spirit, and the gifts and graces that you have given him, God, he would begin to surrender those to you so that he might walk out his calling that you have placed upon his life in the days to come. God, would he be able to declare your good news and be able to walk out a life that is dedicated and surrendered to you and follow you all the days of his life. And so, Heavenly Father, we dedicate him back to you today, and we ask all these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Amen.
go. Yeah, congratulations. So in the book of Acts, we recognize that there is the coming of the Holy Spirit. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Can we get an amen for that? That you are not walking out your faith alone, but you are walking out your faith under the authority and the power of the Spirit. And so over the next, you know, several minutes, we're going to be talking about and celebrating all that God is doing. We are going to be communicating outwardly what God has been doing behind the scenes and inside of so many people of our congregation. And so I don't want you to miss that. I don't want you to be like, hey, I'm just, you know, we're just checking some of these things off the list. I want you to tune your ears towards the witness of what people are saying. I want you to tune your ears towards the Spirit. And I want you to sense the Spirit's presence and how he might be leading you. Maybe it's not even today. Maybe it is today. Maybe later on you're going to be like, hey, I wasn't signed up to be baptized, but I want to be baptized. I'm just suggesting this. Would you begin to listen to the Spirit? Because on Pentecost Sunday, there's no greater way to witness to the coming of the Spirit than to simply say yes to Jesus when you sense him stirring within you. And so I invite you to stand at this time as we continue to worship. Listen into the Spirit and begin to just worship God with everything you've got.
Thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you. We just thank you for who you are, for your faithfulness in our lives. You're worthy of all of it. You're worthy of our entire lives, God. God, I pray that we would continue to recall and remember your faithfulness, because our lives are filled with testimonies of your goodness, God. Let those testimonies remind us and illuminate our eyes to see your goodness right now. And just as we've been singing, I have got stories I'll live to tell. God, we know that you will be faithful continually throughout our lives, Lord. And so this morning, we just continue to celebrate what you're doing in the life of this family, God. We love you. We bless you. It's your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We get to gather on Sunday mornings and worship together as a church family. And I'm going to invite the ushers forward to receive the offering today, because that is also a way that we worship. We're able to remember that what we have isn't really ours, and we can't do as much with it as God can and will. So we just offer back to him what he has provided for us. If you are visiting, please don't feel any obligation to give. And if you are visiting, we would love for you to do a couple things as you come here a few times. One reason is so that you'll know there's not always a baptismal right down here in the front, but it is super exciting that it's here today for Celebration Sunday. We'd also just love for you to meet someone. So you can do that at one of our Connection Centrals. We have two in the lobby. We have one on the patio. So just come to one of those, say hi. You can ask questions that come up during the service. And we have a gift for you as well. We want you to get to know who we are as a church. So I'll talk more about that in just a second. And then we want you to be in prayer asking God what he's doing on the Central Coast, what he's doing at New Life, what he's doing in you, and where all of those things come together, what your next step is. So we do want you to get to know who we are as a church. Crash Course is something that we offer that will help you with that. Crash Course is a class that you can now do digitally and at your own pace. So you used to have to come up here for like a 3-hour session or come a couple of times to do it over a couple of weeks. Now we have it offered in this format, so you have a little more freedom. The QR code will take you to that. It is a series of videos and lessons that teach you about who we are at New Life, what we believe, what we mean when we say that we want you to live fully alive in Jesus, knowing that you are gifted in different ways, how to use your gifts to serve the kingdom. So Crash Course is available and ready to go, and it is also our pathway to becoming a member of our church. So if you are interested in becoming a member, you do not get any like weird behind the scenes backstage access. There are no like hidden curtains here. It is just for you to make a covenant with our church and say that you want to put down roots here, that this is your church family. This is where you want to live out loving God, loving others, serving, and being loved. So we will talk more about that. We have a few individuals we will be celebrating today because they have gone through Crash Course. And at the end, when they were asked if they would like to become members at New Life, they said yes. So these are our four new members of our church family. We are going to do a prayer over them. So if you can just select one of those names and have that name in your mind as we pray, that would be wonderful. God, thank you that you have created us for relationship. You are a relational God, and we are created in your image. So we have this desire for relationship, and you give us that with the local church. When we step out in faith and say that we want to be a member of this church family, this is where we want to live out our mission, to love you, to love others, to love ourselves, and to be loved, that we get to join in covenant relationship to do that, to bear with one another and to encourage one another, just to see the gifts in others, to call them out, to show up for one another, to be here as a community, to worship together in all that we do. God, we love you. We lift up these individuals to you and just thank you that they have taken that step, that they want that relationship, that they want to declare that. And just pray your blessings over them and that they see how you're working in that and what a gift it is to be part of a local church family in addition to the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ministry. I'm so glad you asked. So here's what ministry is. It's a reminder for us here at New Life that we do not separate the portions of the church or segment the portions of the church into secular and sacred, or like the mundane and the real spiritual. That we want the Holy Spirit weaving through every aspect of the church. That includes what happens on the platform, but it also includes the administration and the stewardship of resources and the things that happen behind the scenes that you might never be aware of. And so over the next few moments, I'm going to be sharing with you some updates and just some information that can feel very like, oh, is that like, that's administration or that's business. But what I want to remind you is that woven through every aspect of this is the Word of God, is the Spirit of God, all right? And the first thing I want to remind you of is what Katie just talked about a moment ago, and that's some things about membership. We get questions sometimes about membership, and I want to remind you that when you think membership, don't think Costco. Think covenant. That's what we do. When we are in membership with one another, we're actually in covenant with one another. And unlike Costco, where the expectation is I'm a consumer and Costco has products, that should not be our framework for the church. The framework for the church is covenant, meaning both people, the church and the person, are bringing commitments to that. So let me share with you really briefly, high level, what that commitment looks like. As New Life, our commitment to you is that we want to help you become fully alive in Jesus. We want to guide and direct you. We want to disciple you. We want to encourage you. We want to spur you on in your faith. We want to help you learn how to study and rightly divide the scriptures so that they will pierce your hearts and you will begin to follow Jesus in deeper and richer ways. Amen? We are also committed to be with you on the journey. Because if you follow Jesus very long, what you will recognize is there is mountaintop experiences. And can I tell you, last service was like a mountaintop experience for me. To watch people's testimonies come alive and to be baptized and to spur each other on in faith was just so exciting. And as we brought those families up this morning and dedicated them, man, those are mountaintop experiences. Those are beautiful experiences. But there's also valley experiences. And there's moments where you'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And so as a church, we're committing not only to be with you in the mountaintop experiences, but to also be with you in the valley ones. And here's where it gets difficult. We're not always perfect at it. And so sometimes we're not aware of things that are going on. Sometimes we make missteps, but our commitment to you is to actually lean in and do life with you. The third area is that we are called to call out God's giftedness in you. But not only that, to provide opportunities for you to utilize those gifts. And so as pastors and leaders, and maybe even notice, you know, on our worship team, or you notice with our greeters or any, we have people of all different generations that are involved in ministry. And our desire is not only to call out the things that God has placed within you, but also encourage you and then provide opportunities for you to utilize those things. Now, generally speaking, we do that for everybody that attends, but there's a special covenant that you're entering into when you say, I want to be a member. And there's two additional things that membership does lead you into, and that is church service on our church board and voting for fiscal responsibility and the polity or the legal side of things of the church, okay? So again, there's no VIP treatment or, you know, lower cost for renting facilities. Or I've heard all kinds of things when people come here and they're like, hey, membership in my old church meant this. It means covenant. So what does that mean for you? Well, as members, it means that you are committing to not only make covenant with New Life, but to one another New Life. That means that if you read throughout the entirety of the New Testament, you're going to hear Paul often say, bear with one another, forgive with one another, love one another, care for one another. And so when you one another, that means you are being New Testament, Spirit-filled, Christ-centered people, and that's what you're committing to do. That means when things get messy or uncomfortable, rather than just saying like, peace out, I'm out of here, we do the hard work of reconciliation whenever possible. So that's what you're committing to. The second thing that I want you, that you're committing to is to participate in the mission of God through your time, energy, and resources. And so you're saying, hey, God has given me gifts and talents. God has given me time and God has given me resources. And I see where God is going and I want to be a part of that. And so again, you don't have to be a member at New Life. But that's what membership means. And Crash Course does a good job of breaking that down and sharing some of our roots and our connection to the Church of the Nazarene and what that looks like. Well, one of the things I mentioned about membership is that it also provides opportunity for you to serve on the church board. And we're coming up upon our church board elections. And that means that we are asking our staff for nominations. We ask our current church board to nominate people for election. And we ask you. And I think we have a slide with a QR code. But before you write down your best friend's name, let me share with you a couple of things that are important about board service that are really important. We have several qualifications that are important to us when somebody serves on the church board. Here's the first one, that they exhibit spiritual vibrancy. You might like, well, what does that mean? Well, the scriptures tell us what spiritual vibrancy and this type of leadership actually look like. It means somebody who leads with integrity, someone who exhibits faithfulness and self-control, and someone who is above reproach. And so when you serve on the church board, these are the kind of characteristics and qualities that we are looking for. The second qualification you need to be nominated for the church board is that you need to be a New Life member because you'll be making polity and fiscal decisions. And then the second aspect of that, you need to have attended at least a year. So someone who is a member and who has at least attended New Life for a year. The third one is that you are actively serving somewhere else in the life of the church. We don't want someone's very first time serving at New Life to be the church board. We want you actively serving in students or kids or greeting or the doll ministry or baking crew or any number of things. We want you serving at New Life or somewhere in our community, not having the church board be the very first time that you serve. Number four is we believe, as we read in the book of Acts, that the Church of Jesus Christ is a multi-ethnic, multi-generational movement, Holy Spirit movement of God, of men and women, where Christ is reigning. And so we want individuals on our church board that represent the full scope of who we are as the body of Christ. And so we want men and women and people from different generations, people from different ethnicities, because how you see the gospel begins to unfold in unique and beautiful ways based on your background. And then last but not least, we have what's called mutual voluntary submission. This means that we believe in a diversity of gifts and that we submit to one another, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, out of reverence for Christ. That means that as the lead pastor, I don't make every decision on my own for this church. I submit to other people who might have giftedness in a particular area. For example, if somebody on our church board has incredible giftedness in the area of fiscal responsibility and understanding finances, then why should my voice be the strongest on the board in that particular moment? Shouldn't I, out of reverence for Christ and humility and submission to one another, have my ears open to what they're speaking? Because maybe God wants to say something through them that he hasn't told me yet. That is an important aspect. So when you serve on the church board, it's not a badge of honor. It's a pathway towards humility. It's a pathway towards service. It's a pathway that says, God, I am going to be on my face seeking your will and your discernment and your presence so that I might lead in this capacity in a way that honors Christ and his church. And so we have church board elections coming up, and you can use that QR code to send a nomination suggestion to us. On the next slide, you'll see our current church board, I believe. incredible men and women that have served with me over the last several years. We have six individuals that will be rolling off. That means we need six people to come onto the church board. That also means that we need to have 12 people at least 12 people that are nominated. Usually we have somewhere around 30 to 40 people that are nominated. We whittle that down to 12 individuals, six that we will ask, and then 12 alternates in case any of the first six say no. Okay, and then in June, we'll come with you and we'll let you know what those six names are. You'll have profiles. We will basically say, if you know anything about this individual, again, above reproach, that we don't know, you should come to myself or Pastor Dan and let us know. And then they will go before ballot, and it's a yes, no ballot to say we affirm these individuals or we do not affirm these individuals, okay? We just want transparency with this. If there's an area where churches get caught up in sin, it's in leadership and it's in fiscal responsibility. So that leads me to the second kind of update that I have, and that's about Flourish. I'm reminded that we anchored ourselves in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 7, for our Flourish initiative. It says this: "So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow." Did you notice that? It says, "We're not anything, but it is God is the one who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." So our responsibility is to put our hands to the plow and to work and allow God to grow things. So Flourish has been all about creating environments where people can flourish and grow to know and to love God, where they can become fully alive in Jesus. And if you weren't here with us from the beginning of Flourish, I want to give you a little bit of framework for what that looks like. The first area is that we want to create environments where people flourish. That those areas were the Life Center and the patio and the Welcome Center and the Parsonage, which I'll talk about in a little bit. And we've already seen some movement in that direction. We believe that, yes, there are plenty of places where you can be encouraged and spur each other on in faith. But one of the areas or environments that happens is here at church. Just like we encouraged those families earlier, where we encouraged them to create an environment where you can learn to know and to love God, we want people to be able to do that as well. So I think we have a slide that kind of breaks down those different areas. Life Center, the patio, Welcome Center, and Parsonage. Life Center has already been completed. We're super excited about that. We'll talk about what's next up in a moment. The second thing is that we want to create a legacy for the next generation. And that legacy recognizes that our buildings and facilities have delayed maintenance. And if we don't steward these buildings and facilities well in our generation, we will handcuff the next generation to be able to do ministry. And so delayed maintenance and taking care of, like you've noticed, we put a new roof on the sanctuary. We've started painting the buildings. We've done some of what is called kind of the mundane work of the church. However, it's not mundane, because it will unleash future generations to be able to do what God calls them to do and not be handcuffed by the amount of resources it takes if we continue to allow the facilities to decay. And then third, we want to give to the kingdom of God to see other ministries flourish. And so we know that there's various ministries that are around the Central Coast and around the world. And so we said, hey, what if 10% of what is given towards Flourish, we don't keep here, but we send out into our community and around the world? Well, we've already started doing that. So here are some of the global ministries that we've been giving to. It's actually World Evangelism Fund, which creates stuff like the Jesus Film and other things like that. It's Open Arms Ministry in Mexico, Josiah Venture, which is in the Ukraine, J-Zone, which is in Africa, World Vision, and then short-term mission sponsorships. That means people who say, you know what, I'm called to go on a short-term mission trip, and I'm raising resources for that. Would my church sponsor me? And we've done some of that as well. And then locally, You'll see some of the things. 17 Strong, Coastal Christian School, Contend for the Coast, which is our prayer initiative with other churches on the Central Coast. Chaplaincy, Captive Hearts, Five Cities Homeless Coalition, People's Kitchen, Child Evangelism Fund, Lifeline Pregnancy Center, Grocery Outlet Thanksgiving Meals. Those all have been a part of the Flourish 10% offering. And God has used those and blessed those, and we're seeing God's fruit in all of those things. Can we just give God some praise for some of that? So stay with me. Where are we at right now? Well, let's go to the next slide. Flourish dollars received up to this point is $2.3 million. You see the exact amount there. The total spent is $1.8 million. The Life Center has been completed. The next project that we're going to break ground on is going to be the New Life patio renovation. If you've been out there recently, you know that it's tight and people are drinking coffee and you get bumped into. And we want to expand the space where people can connect and encourage one another. That's going to be $400,000. And we have the resources currently right now, not only to complete the Life Center, but to do that $400,000 renovation. The projects to be determined are the New Life Welcome Center and the Discipleship and Office Center. What that is when we open up the Welcome Center where the current offices are, the offices will shift up to the parsonage, which is the back left of our property. If you didn't know that, we own that house back there. And there's some support groups and other ministry that currently happens there. But that will become office space, but it will also become discipleship space, specifically discipleship space for future ministry leaders. I'm so stoked about this. I believe that God is stirring something within us to call out giftedness in young people and people throughout our congregation and throughout California, who we can equip and train to be pastors and ministry leaders and missionaries of the next generation. So that facility will be where discipleship begins to take place, and we begin to encourage each other and spur each other on, and discipleship takes place in that space. So you see that bottom number, which says $3.7 million, which seems like, wow, that's still a lot of resource. Yes, it is. But let me give you some context. The original pledges from our congregations were $2.1 million. We've already received $2.3 million. That means people who weren't here for the original pledge jumped on and started giving towards Flourish, even though they weren't a part of the original pledge. The rest of the original pledge is actually the $744,000 that will be coming in between now and likely the end of the year. And so we are on great track for that initial pledge. If you weren't here with us, following the original pledge, we had somebody who committed $3 million towards Flourish. And so that $3 million gift will begin happening in the next several months. And so that's that other portion of that pledge. And so can I just tell you something? I am in awe of what God has done. He has provided over and above. So if you are someone who has given a pledge, I just encourage you to be faithful in that commitment, and let's continue to see what God is doing. Amen? Amen. I know that's really businessy, but it's so important for us for transparency and fiscal responsibility to bring these types of updates, and I hope that you're encouraged by it. So now we're going to do something unique. It's not only Pentecost Sunday, but it's also Memorial Day weekend. And tomorrow I will gather with individuals on the pier at Pismo and my responsibility to the United States Air Force as a United States Air Force chaplain. And I will be a part of the Memorial Day service there. But here's what we wanted to do this morning. We wanted to break up into smaller groups, and we wanted to lift up those who have been impacted by war in our congregation and in our world. We'll have some prayer prompts that I think are going to be placed on the screen right now. They simply say this: let's pray for our military men, women, and families who have been impacted by the physical, emotional, and ultimate sacrifice of war. And then the bottom one is pray for those away in service and for those who are coming home. In first service, we had what's referred to as a Gold Star family. One of our gentlemen, Ray, his father was in World War II, and he lost his father in that battle at 6 years old. And so when that happens to a family, they're considered a Gold Star family. I don't know if we have any in our 11 o'clock service that I'm aware of, but if you are a Gold Star family, would you please stand at this moment so that we can recognize and honor you? Is there anybody? Okay. All right. So here's also what I want you to know as you go to prayer in a moment. That bottom prayer prompt is because we have many, but several new lifers that are currently serving in armed forces abroad. And it's exciting for me to tell you today that one of our new lifers who was on a special mission, we just got notice yesterday that he is actually on his way home. So thanks be to God for that, right? So I'll conclude us in prayer with the prayer that I'm going to pray tomorrow at the pier. But here's what I want you to do. Find two or three people. I know it might be uncomfortable. Two or three people to gather with, and you're going to pray on your own and lift up these prayer requests. If you're new with us, it's okay. If you don't feel comfortable, it's all right. You can stay right where you're at. But I'd encourage you. Maybe God has something to do in your life by gathering up with other people. So take a few moments, gather up with one another, and let's pray for our military families. God, hear our prayers. Holy God, you do not watch from a distance, but you come near and invite us to know you and your various names. El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Yet today we declare the first name you were given in the ancient scriptures, El Roy, the God who sees. The God who sees the forgotten, the God who sees the hurting, the God who sees the lonely and even the afraid. You see those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom, whose hearts and hopes are known to you alone. You see those who put the welfare of others ahead of their own. May our life's response be worthy of their sacrifice. You see those who suffer from the unseen impact of war. Grant peace for the one filled with anxiousness, understanding for the conflicted, and rest for the weary. You see those who are brokenhearted. While this weekend is a weekend to honor, it is also a day where the wounds of grief are reopened. Flood their sorrow-filled hearts with memories of gratitude and comfort their souls. God, where we see conflict, you see a future full of hope. And we pray with eager anticipation for a time when we will realize the words of the prophets of old and lay down the arms of war. A time when we will turn our swords into plowshares and reap a harvest of justice and peace. So hear our prayer this day, and in your mercy answer us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Thanks be to God.
So hey, my time up here is I'm going to set up baptism today as we continue in our service. It is Pentecost Sunday, and so what I want to do is take us back to the beginning when the Spirit of God was poured out, and not walk us through denominational history, but walk us through church history. Even though we are part of a denomination, I want to take us back to this. And this is where, if you remember the story, before Jesus was crucified and he gave his life freely, he told his disciples that the Father is going to send a helper, a paraclete, a advocate for you. And what you need to do is, whenever I am in the grave, I need you to go to a place. And then you need to wait until the Spirit comes. And so that happens. The disciples, there's about 120 of them. They are in Jerusalem. They are in a place called an upper room. And they are gathering. And they are praying. And they are worshiping. And something miraculous happens. Something happens that ties us back to the Old Testament, where God's presence came down as in the form of a cloud of fire and a cloud of smoke when God established his temple, his place of meeting with his people in the wilderness. So this happens again in Acts chapter 2, thousands and thousands of years after the fact that God established his presence on the earth. And so we come to a sermon from Peter, because this happens and there are lots of people, lots of different nations and nationalities in Jerusalem celebrating this festival today called Pentecost, and or Passover, and then 50 days later Pentecost happens. And so this is 50 days after Passover that Jesus establishes his new covenant with those disciples and in us today. And so currently we are in a new covenant people with Jesus, how we relate to God. And so Peter stands up, and it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and the people outside are hearing something. They're hearing their own language spoken, and they think that these 120 disciples are drunk. And so Peter addresses the crowd, and he's like, hey, we are not drunk, but what's happening is the Spirit of God is being poured out, just as the scripture is proclaimed in Joel chapter 2. And so then Peter stands up with boldness. I ain't got time. the same Peter that stands up and is proclaiming to this vast crowd is the same Peter a couple days before who was a coward and denies Christ in front of a group of small people around a fire. And so what happens now is that Peter is different, not because of his own self, but because the Spirit of God has been poured out on him, and he has been given power. Somebody say power. He's been given power to proclaim the risen Christ. And so this is the sermon that we get in Acts chapter 2. I would encourage you to read the first sermon of the church. And so Peter, he is doing this, and then the scripture says in Acts chapter 2, in verse 37, Peter's words, his sermon, it does what? Pierces the hearts of those listening to him. So the sermon that Peter preaches in the power of the Spirit, something happens in the listeners, in the crowd. Of those who are already following God, their God named Yahweh, something different is happening. Something is ushered in, and their hearts are pierced, and they say to him and to the other apostles, brothers and sisters, what should we do now that our hearts are pierced? I love this, because this is what sets up today. This is what sets up what we've been in a series called The More Excellent Way, formed into the image of Christ. And this right here represents the more excellent way. This right here represents something that forms us into the image of Christ. Baptism. So what should we do, brothers and sisters? I'm so glad that they asked. Peter says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift. Oh, I love that. The Holy Spirit's a gift. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to the Gentiles. That's me. And all who have been called by the Lord our God. And then it says, Peter continued to preach. Oh, I love this. For a long time, strongly urging them to listen. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. I love that. So now let me set up baptism today. Usually we go straight to Romans chapter 6, but in order for us to understand Romans 6, we need to go back to Romans chapter 5 and give us a contextual idea of what is about to take place today. And so as I do that, those who are getting baptized, I want you to stand to your feet right now. So we all as a church, and I want you to stay standing. Oh, I know. Maybe he's going to ask me to stand for the next whatever. Yes. Stay standing. And then I hear one little clap. Can we all acknowledge those and with the clap offering? So I want y'all to stay standing, please, because I'm going to be speaking. No, the Spirit through me, through the words, is going to speak to you, all right? And church, this is an opportunity for you as well to remember your baptism. And Pastor David will come up and lead us in a time where we as the church who have already been baptized, we can come up here and maybe dip our hand in the water or just remember our baptism. So right now, I'm going to read Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. It says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time. Amen. And he died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though some might perhaps be willing to die for a person who was especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right with God in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. I love this, because in a few chapters later, he's going to say in Romans chapter 8 verse 1 that now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. In verse 9 says, and since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, we will certainly be saved from God's condemnation. Verse 11, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship. I love this, because we as the body of Christ get to celebrate and rejoice with my new brother and my sisters who are about to come into this water. And they're about to show us how they're united with Christ through being dunked in the water, which represents death to our old self, being raised out of the water, which represents resurrection in Christ. And so what I want us to do, because the kids are going to come from kids ministry, and they're going to experience this as well. Actually, they're already making their way up here. Hello, kids. Everybody wave at your kids as they're walking in here. I'm glad you're welcome of us. We are a multi-generational church, so I love that our kids ministry is coming in here. Where was I? He says this, for since our friendship with God was restored. Hey, listen right here, lock in. Right now, listen, I know the kids are coming in, but you adults can still pay attention. What Paul is writing right here in Romans 5 is connecting us back to Genesis 1, 2, and 3, where we had right relationship with God, where there was no brokenness between our relationship with God and humans. And so what Paul is saying here in this letter to the Roman church is, for since our friendship, I love this language, because a lot of us in this room, we do not see our relationship with God as a friendship. Now, mind you, we should see our relationship with our Creator as He is Master, He is Lord, He is Savior. We submit to Him. As we get a revelation of who and how good this God is, now we can walk into this new realization that we are friends with God now. Hey, this is not like other religions. You are not a friend with Muhammad. You're not a friend with Confucius. You're not a friend with the Mormon God. You're not a friend with any other God but our God. Hello, somebody. The scripture says this, for since our friendship with God is restored by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So now we can rejoice, which is what we're going to do in a minute, in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. This is restoration language. This is the ministry of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20 teaches us, church. And then going on right now, what I'm about to read is a compare and contrast to the first Adam and the second Adam. The second Adam is Jesus. We're going to get a comparison of the law and grace now. And so now, bear with me. When Adam sinned, sin entered into the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Verse 14, still everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol. I love that in my Bible, that word's highlighted and circled. Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. But there is a difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift of grace. For the sin of his one man, Adam, brought death to many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace, gracious, and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other one man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's grace or his gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. I love this. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. I love this language because it's telling us that salvation is free, but you will not have to receive it. I usually use an analogy, young people, where I bring out like whatever money I have in my pocket. Usually it's a $100 bill because I'm balling like that. I'm kidding. I usually hold out some money though, and I'll say, hey, just like salvation, this is a free gift. Does anyone want it? And people's hands shoot up, but no one actually gets out of their seat and come get it. This is what salvation is like. We have to now receive this free gift of right relationship with God. And after we receive that free gift, we now get to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. You don't. It says this now in verse 18. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many, that's you and I, will be made righteous. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead. Amen. giving us right standing with God as resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter 6, verse 1 says this. Fifth grade, sixth grade, pay attention. Well then, should we keep on sinning so God can give us more and more of his grace? You don't have to answer that. The scripture says absolutely not. Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in sin? Help me, Holy Spirit. Help our church, Holy Spirit. Or have you forgotten? I love this rhetorical question. Pastor Sharon, have you forgotten? Not to call you out. Have you forgotten? I love this. That when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined in him in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. I love this. I want you to now put your attention to this cross over here. We have two different crosses in this house. This cross with a bunch of nails in it and this cross with the broken stained glass of what our church used to like before we had an earthquake. This represents beauty. This represents the death and the penalty and what Jesus took on for you and for me and for the entire world. For God so loved the world that plan A, the only plan, was to send his son Jesus before the foundation of the earth to make us right with him by offering his body as a living sacrifice, which is pleasing and holy to God. Now, because we put our faith in what Jesus and his work, that's why when he's on the cross, he said, it is finished. Now we can be made right with God. And so we look and we remember our baptism, those who have been baptized. We remember our baptism and say, man, thank you, God, for what you brought me from. The past that I used to live, my raunchy self, I thought I was all that in a bag of chips. No, God, you saved that old self and brought me into this new life because of what you did on this cross. And I thank you, Lord, that you say it's finished. It's no longer my works, but it's your works. So I love that in this church we have two different crosses in here to represent what Christ did for us and beauty from ashes. Moving on, it says this. Verse 10. When he died once to break the power of sin, but now he lives, and he lives for the glory of God. So you should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. So do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves, those who are standing, this is what you're about to do. You're about to give yourselves completely to God, which means there's no hidden parts of our life, our heart, that we cannot let God into. He wants your whole self, not parts of yourself, which is called sanctification, by the way. The process of God stripping away those old things that we continue to hold on to make us look like his son, to form us into the image of Christ. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. It's not just the name of our church, but this is our reality now, church. So use your body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace, Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free, my brother. So stand firm in that freedom. So what our brothers and sisters are about to do, so I'm gonna go ahead and call you forward. Y'all can go ahead and come over here, and then I'm gonna be done, and I think someone's gonna come up and give more instructions. But church, as my sisters and brothers are walking forward, and those who are wanting to get baptized today, you're gonna make your way over here, and I'm gonna give you what this is. This is a picture that when they come into this water, it doesn't matter about how this water feels. If it's cold, if it's hot, if it's lukewarm, if there's hair all in it, it does not matter. You laugh. I'm being dead serious. Because a lot of us say, man, I'm just gonna wait till my family's here. I'm gonna wait till my friends are here. I'm gonna wait. No one's promised tomorrow. So why are you delaying your obedience to get baptized right now? The scripture says, repent of your sin, believe in the Lord Jesus, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. There was no waiting in the first century, in the first church. Philip, why are you trying to punk me into getting baptized? I'm not. I'm not trying to punk you. I'm not trying to strong arm you. I'm not trying to do that at all. But what I'm trying to get you to realize is that tomorrow is not promised for me. I can't speak for you. It's not promised for me. And so what we need to do is, if you're feeling that feeling, but our faith is more than a feeling. I get it. Our faith's more than a feeling, but our faith can be visible like this. When they come in this water and they go down in this water, it represents my old self is being crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, Galatians 2:20 says. And then when they come out of the water, it represents resurrection life, new life in Christ. You get a new identity when you choose. And this is their choice. They have been, love has compelled them. The love of God has compelled them to make this decision publicly in front of all of you. You know how hard it is to stand up here? If you don't do this for a living and communicate what God's doing in your life in front of all of you. So church, let's celebrate, let's honor, and let's give thanks to God for what he's doing in their life. Amen? Amen.
Okay, good morning, church. So these are our new brothers and sisters that we get to celebrate with today because they have heard the Lord calling to them. They have chosen to respond and receive that. So each one of them is going to have the opportunity to tell you their name and share their testimony of what God has done in their life, why today is the day. And then after you do that, you'll walk over to Pastor David and he'll help you nail that to the cross. And then you'll go off the platform and wait for everybody to be done. And then we'll start getting in the water, okay? And everybody's going to cheer real loud for you when you come up out of the water. Okay, so what's your name and why are you getting baptized today? What has God done for you?
Is Kaylin, and I want to get baptized because I want to live for him and I want to be with him.
Awesome. Amen. Okay. So.
My name is Chloe, and why I want to be baptized is because I love Jesus and God and I want to be in my family in heaven.
Amen.
Hi, my name is Fiona. I'm in seventh grade and I go to Judkins. May is my 1 year of going to New Life, and so I decided what better way to celebrate that by getting baptized today. God has been working so much in my life lately, even when I don't always realize it, and I've learned that I don't have to be perfect to come to Jesus. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Sienna Gleckler. I am getting baptized today because I want to continue to live by the word of God and grow a stronger relationship with him every day.
Hello, my name is Jesse Brooks. I'm here to be baptized today. The word of God has drawn me back to Jesus, and Jesus has been so gracious and merciful in my life, and there's no greater honor than to give my life for him.
All right, as they get ready to get in the water, your job is to be ready to cheer for them as their church family, and it is a day to celebrate.
I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood, I'm as good as new. Oh, hallelujah, I've been washed in the water, washed in the blood, all because of you. Oh, hallelujah.
up. We're going to give our kids some time to give back to kids ministry. But I want you to think about this. Today, 15 individuals went from death to life. Amen? So good. I know for many of us that are gathered here, you have been baptized, but what I want to encourage you to do is this. As we conclude our service here in just a moment, I want to encourage you to come forward. Maybe you're going through a mountaintop experience right now. I want you to come forward and dip your hands in the baptismal waters and remember your baptism. For some of us, that means just dipping our fingers in and then maybe making the sign of the cross on our forehead as a reminder of what Christ has done. For others, it's just kind of coming forward and resting our hand in the water for a moment, reminding ourselves of who we are in Christ. Whether you're on the mountaintop or whether you're in the valley, remember your baptism. And then in a moment, I'm gonna commission us or say the benediction over us. And I want you to remember something. When you leave, and I'll just invite everybody to stand at this time because I'm gonna give you the benediction. When you leave today, do not go to the restaurants and simply just talk about sports or what you're binge watching or any number of other things. As you leave today, may you talk about and be witnesses of what you have seen. May you be witnesses of God's grace. May you be witnesses of his salvation. May you be witnesses of the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, grace and peace to you. We'll see you next week.